Proverbs chapter 20, we're again taking a detour from our exposition of the Gospel of Luke. We want to touch on something different this morning, Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, just one verse, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6, the Bible says this, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Our Father, we do thank you for this morning. Father, as our minds are fixed on Father's and Father's Day, we are so thankful that we have a Heavenly Father, God that treats us better than we deserve to be treated. Father, that gives us grace at every turn. Father, that though He chastises and corrects, Father, you do it in love. Father, you do it with our best interest at heart. Father, you do what is right, regardless of whether or not we acknowledge it to be right or not. And Father, we just thank you for being a good Father and for setting the pattern for us that are fathers, that Father, we might follow your example in our dealings with our children. We pray, God, you give us all something this morning from your word that would encourage us and challenge us. Make this a very special service for us this morning. God, we pray that as you only can do, that you would speak to each and every heart individually. Father, there's never a time that your word is proclaimed that there isn't something you have to say for each and every person that's under the sound of the voice of the preacher. And Lord, we know you can take something by your Holy Spirit. And Father, meet a need or show a need or, Father, fill a void, whatever it might be. So we pray you do that this morning. We pray most of all, should there be anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that God, they come to know that Heavenly Father today. What a good day it'd be to acknowledge their Heavenly Father. So Father, speak to each and every heart. Give us that which will strengthen our faith in you and our boldness toward others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The book of Proverbs is very interesting in that it asks a couple questions that are quite appropriate for the season we have. Just last month we celebrated Mother's Day, and because last year I preached specifically on mothers on Mother's Day, I didn't do it this year. And because I didn't preach on Father's Day last year, we're doing it this year. But the book of Proverbs covers both of those here. I'm sure you're familiar with Proverbs 31 and verse 10, which is where we usually go on Mother's Day to preach about being a godly mother. Proverbs 31:10 said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And from that text, we talk about finding a virtuous woman, a godly woman. If you want to be a wife and a mother that is going to accomplish something and really have some meaning in life, you've got to know the Lord and serve the Lord and walk with the Lord. And so the Bible addresses that issue. And the Bible has a lot to say about mothers. In fact, over 300 times mothers are referred to in the Bible. And they have a very important role. We always talk about Susanna Wesley and the number of the 16 children she raised and the preacher she raised and preacher's wives and all these things and the great influence a mother has in the home. And without a doubt, that's true. Did you know that though mothers are mentioned over 300 times, fathers are mentioned over 1,600 times? And again, this is not to be competitive or say one is more valuable or more important than the other, but the Bible does stress the importance of the father in the home. All you have to do is read the statistics of the day and age we live in and find out what a tragedy it is when children are raised without the father in the home due to whatever circumstance it might be. It's not the focus and the vibrancy, and it's not the provision that it could be if it was the way it ought to be. And again, different circumstances, we're not being judgmental in these things. But that's just the way it is. And the Bible over 1,600 times mentions fathers or in the plural or singular in the Word of God. And one of those times is right here in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. And it says, or not that word, but the teaching, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find." I'm going to take the word father this morning, as we did with Baptist a couple weeks ago on a Sunday night. And we're going to take the word father and we're going to make an acronym out of it and take each of the letters. That's the way you know how long the sermon will be. I could use the Greek word for father, which has 23 letters. No, I don't know if it does or not. But we're going to take the word father and make an acronym out and see some characteristics that need to be there for a godly father. And you say, well, preacher, wait a minute. You're only addressing then a handful of people here because there are only so many fathers that are here. But you know what? A man cannot be the kind of father he needs to be if he doesn't have his family in agreement with him. A man cannot be a biblical husband if his wife opposes him being a biblical husband. I've known a lot of men that wanted to be the head of their home, but their wives did not allow them to be the head of their home. Now, men, if you've been married, you know what I mean by that. I mean, the Bible says the man is the head of his home, but if a man has a rebellious or a man has a bossy, I'm really getting into a bad area here, dangerous territory, but I've known some men who could not be the head of their home. You know, I've said this before as a joke. I'm the head of my home because my wife lets me be. And I say that jokingly, and I have no problem with my wife, but a lot of men, their wives don't let them be the head of the home, and therefore it's hard for them to be the head of the home. So when I talk about a godly father, ladies, I want you to know that you have to assist your husband in being a godly father. He can't be one if the element of his spouse is against him. Children, your father cannot be a godly father if you don't allow him to be a godly father. He can to a certain realm, but if you buck that influence and resist that influence, you need to pray for your dad that he would be a godly father. I think every man in here, every one of us that are fathers that are here this morning, we come to church because that's part of our life. We desire to be the right kind of a father. There's no problem with the desire, I don't think. The problem is with the performance, because it's difficult in this day, and it's always been difficult, to be the biblical example of a father. So let's take these letters and look. And of course, we started in Proverbs 20, verse 6, because that's where we find the first letter, the letter F. But a faithful man, remember, who can find a virtuous woman? But a faithful man, who can find? A virtuous woman and a faithful man, according to the Bible, are difficult to come by. They're not commonplace. And if that was true in Solomon's day, I know it's that much more true even in the day we live in, to find a virtuous woman and a faithful man. And the Bible tells us that a man ought to be faithful. A faithful man who can find. A man needs to be faithful to his wife. And did you hear me? A man needs to be faithful to his wife. Men, we live in a wicked, ungodly, corrupt, terrible, sinful, sick world. And the devil is out there to allure every man by any means possible to get his attention off of his wife onto some other woman. And the devil's been doing this to men for a long, long time, so he's pretty good at it. And you and I that are husbands, we need to determine daily and weekly and monthly in ourselves that we are going to love our wives according to the Bible commandment, and we are going to keep ourselves faithful to them, and we are going to run like Joseph from Potiphar's wife. Anytime any situation presents itself that looks even slightly untoward. You know what I know about you men? You're dumb. You're gullible. And some woman will speak kindly to you and nice to you, and you won't even have a clue of what's going on. You know what else I know? Your wife knows exactly what's going on. I've seen it happen enough times. The wife will say, "You better watch out." Oh, she doesn't mean anything by that. Yeah, men, you're dumb. Okay? You don't want to suspect anything because there's just something about it. But at the same time, the wife goes, you need to be careful that you are faithful to your wife. Don't let anything alluring come even close to you. The internet and its privacy with the pornography and it doesn't, all I do is log on to Juno. You know what it brings up? A singles dating system. And I'm 52 years old and married. Like a 19-year-old single, is anything. I don't even want to see that. I don't want to be around it. That the world is systematically doing something to get into your mind and get into your heart and try to allure you away. You and I, as fathers, as men, need to stay in love with our wives and determine to be faithful to them. We also need to be faithful to our children. You know, being unfaithful to your wife is, in essence, being unfaithful to your children. When you look at something outside of the marriage realm and you have children under you and you allow yourself to be taken out, if I could just tell you, men that I know, friends of mine, preacher friends of mine, that have somehow fallen into this trap of the allurement and it's broken up their homes, and as preachers they have left their wives to chase after some other woman, and their children are just devastated by it. A man doing that is not faithful to his children. And the Bible says, a faithful man who can find. It's not easy always to be faithful. But if you'll determine in your mind that's what you're going to be, you'll nip it in the bud before it comes, and you'll be aware that it's around the corner, and you'll protect yourself from doing that. A faithful man who can find. You need to be faithful to your family. You also need to be faithful to your Heavenly Father. Now here's the thing. Any man can be a good man and be faithful to his wife and faithful to his children. Any man, I can go knock on doors of people that are home this morning in their house, and they can be good fathers, but they can't be godly fathers. Because to be a godly father, they've got to have their family in church. To be a godly family, they've got to be influencing their family in the things that go the right way. And so I'm talking to people, I'm not telling you how to be a good husband, a good father. I'm saying here's how you become a godly father. Your relationship and faithfulness, number one, is based on God. The rest of the world can work on the humanistic elements of the faithfulness, but you and I that are children of God, you and I that are saved and washed in the blood of Christ, we know that if we're going to be the right example to our family and the right leader to our family, we've got to be faithful to our God. Men, can I challenge you this morning? Be faithful to God. Put Him, if you'll put Him first, you won't be allured away from your wife. If you put Him first, you won't break up that home with the children. If you put Him first, things will be right. Now, there's still outside circumstances that come in and do mess up all kinds of things. But as far as your relationship with God, if you will maintain that, if you will be a faithful man in your walk with God, God will take care of many of the areas of your life and protect you from the things you need to be protected from. A faithful man who can find. Fathers, you need to be faithful. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 6, just to confirm to you that this is the truth. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men. What old man doesn't know that? And I include myself in that. I put on, what am I on? Facebook. I've got Facebook. Yeah, you get on those things, everybody in the world wants to be your friend. I get people say, some of you, this right over your head, don't worry about it. It needs to be over your head. Don't worry. I did it because, you know, somebody said, oh, preachers are doing this, so I logged on to it. And I got somebody, Sarah, you're going to know who this is because it said you were a mutual friend. Some girl named Gabby wants to be my friend. And all that is somebody recognizes the last name and knows somebody else with that last name and wants to get connected. So they say, this person wants to be your friend. I just put, ignore. If I don't know them, I don't want to be their friend. It doesn't matter to me. But the Bible says that children's children are the crown of all. I put on my Facebook, I put on there, I said, if I knew, and you've heard this before, if I knew grandchildren were this much fun, I'd have had them first. Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. Dads, you want to leave a heritage? You want to leave a mark on this world? We're not all going to be, you know, Billy Graham. We're not all going to be George Witt. We're not going to all be people whose names are easily recognizable down throughout history. But you leave a godly heritage in your children to filter into this world. You've accomplished something. You raise some kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and have them take a stand for Jesus Christ in this world, you have accomplished something. And you and I need to be faithful to God in our families. Second of all, that's the letter F, so we're one-sixth of the way through the sermon. The letter A, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We need to be attentive. God did not give us our children to be ignored. God did not give us our children to be set aside while we pursue other things. The Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. Don't ever buy into this worldly philosophy of quality time. See, that's how men who have pursued their own careers by setting their children in second place have justified their actions by saying, well, at least I get a 20-minute block of time here, or I get a 15-minute block of time there, and I spend it with my children. Can I tell you that quality time will never replace quantity time? Children would rather sit on their father's knee and do absolutely nothing for an hour than have 10 minutes of quality time. And the world's philosophy is not assisting or helping the family by any means whatsoever in the day we live in. They are not strengthening the family by giving this philosophy that your career or your passions or your sports or whatever it might be, you go for all that, but make sure you get these little blocks of quality time for your children. Your children are influenced by you in ways you'll never imagine, and the quantity time is what influences them, not the quality time. We need to be attentive to our household. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8 says this, "But if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Men, we've got to work for a living. We've got to spend time in our occupations. But our children need us. They want us to be around. They want to be influenced by us. They want us to provide for them. And providing is not just giving them shoes and clothes and say, what more do you want? It's not putting a roof over their heads and saying, you've got everything you need, you don't need anything else. It's that comfort and security. They come out with these studies sometimes and touch on it a little bit, but they never really get a hold of the security a child has by knowing that his father is around. By knowing that his father will drop whatever else is necessary in case of an emergency or even a seeming emergency to come to their rescue. We need to be attentive toward our own house. The Bible says if we don't, we're worse than an infidel. Let me ask you this. Your Heavenly Father, how would you like it if you dropped down on your knees and said, Father, I have a need. And your dad said, later, son, I'll be home at 5 o'clock. Later, I don't have time for it right now. That wouldn't be much of a Heavenly Father, would it? Now, I know we can't always pack up. You got a factory job and somebody, and there's times you just can't pack up, but you can stop on the phone long enough to call them and talk to them and give them some advice and do something for them. That's what they need. They need that special attention that comes from it. And the Bible says that we need to meet the needs, provide for our own house. And it doesn't say shoes and clothing. It says provide for them. We need to provide physically. Need to make sure they don't have to have the best of everything. It's not a competition. It's not keeping up with the Joneses, but we have to provide their needs. But more than just physical. See, again, here we go. Anybody can be a good father, provide physically for the family. But a godly father has to also provide spiritually for his family. Don't turn all the teaching over to the mother. Don't turn all of the education over to the mother as far as the things of God. There needs to be the father's voice, Deuteronomy chapter 6, sitting them down, teaching them the Word of God, letting them know the biblical principles and giving them the guidelines. We need to be attentive to our families, especially in the area of spirituality. See, the lost world doesn't get that. You go knock on somebody's door, and a dad will come to the door and you'll say, We're so-and-so from Bible Baptist Church. We'd like to have you come to church. And they put you off or do something. You see a couple little kids behind them, and you say, you know, we also have a bus that comes around and pick kids up. And I've had fathers say this to me. Well, I don't want to influence them or push them into religion. We know you did. You just pushed them away from it. You just had a negative influence on them by saying it's not important to me, and I'm not going to say it should be important to you, and so I'm not going to make it necessary. See, an unsaved and unbeliever can't be a godly father. They can be a good father, but they can't be a godly father. And I'm all for the ones that are good fathers, and many of them are. But they can't be a godly father because they're providing physically and not providing spiritually. You and I, men that want to be the right kind of fathers, have to provide spiritually for our household as well as providing physically. Faithful. Attentive. The letter T. Turn back to the book of Numbers, chapter 30. Numbers, chapter 30. Fathering a child is easy. Being a father to a child is a whole different story. Just about any male can father a child. But it takes somebody determined to be a father to a child. And that's the problem we have in today's society. The permissive society, sexual promiscuity, all those things going on. That's why we've got the problem we've got. Men that want to become fathers without being fathers. And children today need fathers. They need stability. They need someone that shows them the right way. They need somebody that's going to be there for them. They need the security that comes with that. Too many children are being raised without that security in our day. Numbers chapter 30, verse number 2. You're already there and you're waiting for me. Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. We take the letter T in father and make it stand for truthful. We need to be known as people that keep our word. The world doesn't value that anymore. It doesn't mean a lot. They can promise or say something, and if it doesn't come to pass, they don't even think twice about it. Oh, you really thought I was going to do that? Well, sure, I told you I was going to, but you really thought I was going to do that? We need to set an example of being truthful. It used to be, the old saying is, a man's word is his bond. And we all know that's the way it used to. You used to go to the bank and borrow money on a handshake. Now, I don't remember those days. And I told that to a couple bankers, and they didn't buy it. They said, okay, I'll shake your hand, then you sign here. See, the word doesn't mean what it used to mean like it did before. But the Bible still tells us if we give our word, we ought to keep our word. If we tell somebody we're going to do something, do it. Do you see how simple that is? You're going to tell somebody you're going to do something, do it. If you're not able to do it or fulfill it, call them and let them know you're not going to be able to do it or fulfill it. Man, that one little thing would revolutionize society today. I've told you this before. I don't say this to brag or anything, but when I was working my job as a salesman for a manufacturing company, if I couldn't deliver, if I told them your air conditioner or your siding or whatever will be here at such and such a day at such and such a time, and the truck driver called me and said, you know, we've got trouble, this product hasn't come in, we got to delay the trip, I would call the guy and say, hey, it's going to be 2 hours later than I said it was. You know what happened? In the 1 year since I took over, the sales numbers doubled. The sales number doubled for the accounts I cover. You say, oh, boy, you must have really... All I did was be truthful. All I did was follow up on things. All I did was keep people informed. And you know what? People are impressed by that because it doesn't seem to happen a whole lot around anymore. You and I need to be fathers. The T stands for truthful. We need to keep our word, fulfill our word, fulfill our promises. Don't lie to your children. If there's anybody that knows you, it's them. You can lie, and I'm not recommending this, you can lie to your neighbor and get away with it better. You can lie to your children because they know when you're lying. And if they don't know the first, second, or third time, they'll catch on really quick. And not only will they know you're lying, but they'll pick up the habit too. You and I need to be truthful. We need to keep our promise. Our children need to trust what we say. We need to keep our commitments. We need to be men that are truthful men. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's move on to the next letter, the letter H. 1 Peter chapter 1. They say, now wait a minute, I've had the fat. I've had the FAT already. And that's enough to fill my boat for about a week. I don't know about you, but that's the way I feel. To challenge myself to make sure I'm faithful. To challenge myself to make sure I'm attentive. To challenge myself to make sure I'm truthful. There's enough to keep you busy right there. And we're only just under halfway through it, where we're at right now. I'm always amazed by Christian people that get saved and then say, well, that's all there is to it, I'm all done. Man, I've been saved 34 years and I'm still working on this thing. Not working on getting to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. But working on conforming my life to what the Bible tells me I ought to be. I've been at it 34 years pretty consistently. You know, a lot of people say, well, I got saved and got away from God. That in 34 years, that hasn't happened. From the day I got saved, I've been pretty consistent on going this direction. And in 34 years, I can tell you that faithful, attentive, and truthful are still things I've got to work on from time to time. The H stands for holy. I got to work on that all the time. That's not a time-to-time thing. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I know it's here in my Bible somewhere. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Someone said it this way, holiness is to the spiritual life what health is to the physical life. You can be alive physically and not have health. You can be alive spiritually and not have holiness. But it's not the way God intends it. God intended you and I to be holy beings, to be holy creatures. And you and I need to be holy. We need to have that spiritual side that shines through in our life because it needs to be seen by our offspring and needs to be seen by our children. We rub off onto our kids whether we think we do or don't. We influence by our actions the way our children are going to be raised. You find a man that is a mechanic that loves to tinker with cars and work on cars. You know what I'll tell you? 90% chance his son is going to grow up liking motors and cars and things along that line. Because they accumulate that interest. They're fun. My dad loved music. My dad played saxophone and clarinet, and I grew up with a love for music. It wasn't something he taught me. He didn't sit down and say, hey, like this or else. But hearing him, I'd go to bed at night and hear him in his bedroom, which was the opposite of mine, in our closets, you know, butted up against each other. And he'd always play a saxophone into the closet because he could get the sound back to him to hear how it was doing. So he's playing into his closet, which is the back end of my closet. I'm laying there in bed. I go to bed every night hearing this beautiful tenor saxophone music, and to this day, somebody played a saxophone up at the tent meeting for an offering the other night, and I was in heaven. I loved it. I thought it was great. I love saxophone except when Bill Clinton plays it. Something about that just doesn't go together. But I acquired that love of those things. My children have picked up things from me that I picked up from my father. You know, when I don't watch baseball a lot because it's just long. Games are long, and it's just that's too much time. But I still follow baseball, so I'll get on the computer in the evening before I go to bed just to check the score. And there's two scores I check every night. Number one, the Detroit Tigers. Got to check that. That's hometown team. That's where I grew up. I check the Detroit Tigers almost every night to see what they did. And I also check the New York Yankees. You say, why? Because I want to make sure they lost. My dad hated the Yankees. He grew up in the era of Gehrig and Ruth and Mantle and all these kind of guys, and he despised the New York Yankees. I know nothing about that era, but you know what I developed from my father? I cheer for two teams, the Tigers and whoever's playing against the Yankees. I picked that up from my dad. You know, my kids have picked up a love of sports from me. Matt thinks the Detroit Pistons are the greatest team in the world. Robert is the football fan. He follows the poor guy. Follows the Detroit Lions year after year after year. My girls will watch every hockey game with me, and we all watch every Detroit Red Wings. I find out they're not from New Philadelphia. They're from Pittsburgh. And right now, Pittsburgh doesn't sit well with the Detroit Red Wings fans. Game 7, 2-1 to Pittsburgh. Ugh. Sidney Crosby. Anyways, my kids have picked up, you know, none of my kids were born in Michigan. None of my kids have lived in Michigan. Matt went to school there for a few years. And yet every one of their Detroit Red Wings, Detroit Pistons, Detroit Tigers, Detroit Lions fans, you say, what is that? They picked up that from their father. They picked up that something I'm interested in, they're interested in, and something that really doesn't make sense that it would matter to them. It only matters because they picked up the desire of their father. God forbid they should pick up something as secular as that from me and not pick up something holy, not pick up something spiritual. An unsaved father can give them one half of that, but he can't give them the other half. An unbelieving father can give them a love for things in this world that are not necessarily sinful things, being a mechanic on a car or music or whatever it might be, but they can't give them the other side. And the Bible says, be ye holy. Fathers, there ought to be a difference between you being a good father and being a godly father. We need to be holy. The letter E. And this carries over from being holy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll beat you there this time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the letter E. What does it take to be a godly father? Not a good father. It's commendable to be a good father. But you and I that are saved need to be a godly father, a godly grandfather. Wives, you need to help your husbands to be godly fathers. Children, you need to help your dads to be godly fathers. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let's take the E and have it stand for example or exemplary. As Christians fathers, we need to be an example of the spiritual side of the life. The Bible says in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. There ought to be some things that somebody could go up to a child and say, you know, I know this about your dad. And they'd say, and I'll never believe it. I know my dad better than that. I know his character. I know his conduct. I know that doesn't fit the picture. We ought to be that way in everything that we do. As a pastor, I ought to maintain a certain testimony that somebody came to you and said, let me tell you something about that pastor of yours. That hopefully you've known me long enough and watched me long enough, you'd say, no, that's contrary to everything I've seen. That doesn't fit the picture. And the same thing ought to be true of one another, that we have such a testimony before one another when somebody comes through and says, you know, this or that. And sometimes it might be something you say, well, it's a possibility, but it still doesn't fit the overall picture of their character. There might be a flaw. There might have been a temporary hiccup somewhere along the line, but that's not the person they're at. The Bible says that we men, and he's talking to Timothy here, of course, as he leaves him to pastor that church, but as a young man, he says, be an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Set an example. Don't get caught up in do as I say and not as I do, because that just doesn't work. Our example teaches far more than anything else. We need to set an example. It needs to show from our life what we are and who we are. Your attendance in church Sunday mornings sets an example for your children. Your devotions at home, your Bible reading, to be noticed, not to be noticed, but that is noticed, sets an example for your children in the home. Your prayer before meals, your conduct and conversation in your home and outside of all sets an example for your children. You know, it is a shock for kids that grow up in Christian homes. It's a shock when they go out into that world and hear the way other fathers talk. The way they address their... it's a shock to me. I've been around a while. But I'll go out and hear some guy correct his child and just use filthy language and maybe slap them somewhere. And do things to them, and you just think, what kind of lousy father are you? And you can't really say that unless you're ready to fight. But you know, you just think, what kind of, and it ought to be for children in a Christian home that is a shock to their system when they see that, when they get out into the stores or out into different places of life, that it just doesn't fit the pattern because their father has been an example of the believer. What a challenge. Okay, I've got to be faithful. I've got to be attentive. I've got to be truthful. I got my homework set out for me. I've got to be holy. I've got to be exemplary. Let's go to the R. That's the last letter, by the way, for some of you that might have went to public school. Romans chapter 13. Of course, some of you are thinking, Father,
That Father, F-A-D, how did you get the T in there?
Romans 13. Verse number 7. Romans 13 and verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. There's something that's due every father by the wife and the children, and that's respect. We've come to a day where children do not respect their fathers. Many times, you know, and this is kind of tricky because the Bible says honor there, and honor and respect are actually two different things. Honor is demanded. Honor is demanded. You and I are to honor the king. Now, we don't have a king, so we have a president. That'll fill your boat right there. Honor your president. That'll give you enough work to work on right now for the next 3 years and 10 months anyways. But honor is demanded by God. Give honor to whom honor is due. Respect is deserved. Not demanded, but deserved. You can't command somebody to respect somebody else. Respect has to be earned. And the reason you see a lot of children disrespecting their parents is because the parents did not teach them or earn that respect. You go into a place, a public place, and you hear the way kids talk to their parents or things they do to their parents, stuff like that, and you wonder, how in the world can that kid, your kid wouldn't get away with that, would he? You know why? Because you've taught them to respect their father and their mother. They wouldn't get away to talking. The dad wouldn't stand there passively while the children are talking that way disrespectfully to the mother, and the dad stands by passively. Wouldn't happen in your home, would it? Those kids mouth off to her. You go over there and straighten out the situation immediately. Why? You teach them to have respect for their elders. And the R in father means respected. As the head of the home, he's to be respected. I know what I'd like to do. I'd like to say the R in father stands for right. He's always right. Father knows best. He's always right. But you know what I found out? Sometimes I wasn't always right. I was right at the time, but then I found out later I wasn't really right. But respected fits. There's no loophole for respected. Fathers ought to be respected by their children. And there is no excuse, children. I can preach to the younger ones. There's no excuse for not respecting your father. You say, well, he hasn't taught me to respect him. You still need to respect. You know, my dad was unsaved when I grew up. He was not a Christian. I found out later, after he got saved at 45 years of age, I found out afterward that he claimed to be an agnostic. If there is a God, where is he? Why is there all this stuff in the world, famine in the world, and mistreatment of people? That was his philosophy, though I didn't have any idea of it growing up because it wasn't discussed in our home. And he was still a good father. And I still respected him as my father, even though on the spiritual realm there was nothing there. We need to respect our fathers. Fathers, we need to make sure that we earn the respect of our children. Do all that we can that's in our power to be faithful. Do all that we can to be attentive to our children. Do all we can to be truthful. Do all we can to be holy and exemplary. And if we'll do those things, we'll earn their respect. They'll look up to us. And we will put into this world some children that'll shock the world. We'll put into this world some children. You know it. If you've raised Christian kids, you just know how it is. You go out to a restaurant to sit down and eat, and somebody will come over and say, I'm amazed how well-behaved your children are. You know, you think, is this kid ever going to obey me and sit still like I tell them? But they've seen so many other things that they come to those little quirks that your kids have, and they say, I'm impressed with how well your children act and how well they behave you. It doesn't take a whole lot to do it. It just takes consistency. You're not going to teach your children to obey by saying, I'm going to count to three now, Johnny. Johnny's going to say, I can do that too, Mommy. All right, we're going to give you a timeout now. Now, the Bible tells you how to earn their respect, doesn't it? Tells you what to do to make sure they obey you. Fathers, we've got a challenge. If you've noted these things down, if you've written these down, that's your homework. I don't care if you've been a father, if you're an expectant father, if you're a father with small children, if you're a father with teenage children, if you're a father whose children have grown and gone from the house, none of these things are exempt at that point. You're still a father. You've still got children. You've still got an influence. It might not be the day-to-day personal contact you had before, but you're still an example. The Bible tells us what fathers ought to be. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and eyes closed. As I mentioned, you say, well, preacher, I'm not a father. You're married to one. You're the child of one. You're influenced by one. Pray for them. They've got a hard job. They've got a hard task on their hands, working to provide for their children and still being spiritually everything they need to be. Pray that they'll have the right balance in their life, the right priorities in their life, the right influence, the right example. Father, thank you this morning for the ability by our faith in Jesus Christ to be the right kind of father. Lord, there are many in this world without Christ who are good fathers to their children. We don't doubt that. But Father, our desire, our goal, our aim is a little bit higher than that. It's to be godly fathers. Father, help these wives to help their husbands be godly fathers. Help these children, God, to pray for their dads that they would be godly fathers. Father, help these men to have the desire in their heart and follow through with the actions of their feet to be godly fathers. Father, help us to please you and make a difference in this world in all that we do. Speak to hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 306. Page 306 in the songbook. As always, the altar is open. If God's spoken to your heart, challenged you, whatever it might be, you come as we sing page 306.
In thy presence, humbly I